to be will be where they're supposed to be. Oh, come on and say amen. And so all the things that going wrong in your life will begin to go right when you're able to speak. And I want to...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about following Jesus, lifestyle or lip service, part two. Following Jesus, lifestyle or lip service. I think, my brothers and sisters, this word, again, calls for us to evaluate ourselves, to take notice of ourselves, of our walk, of our talk, of our commitment to Christ and the things of Christ. And he speaks this word, and he speaks it again right on the heels of, again, having wrought a miracle of the two small fish and five barley loaves, and he's ministering again this word to those who are hearing him. And then he starts in verse 18 to pray. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering and said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Now, putting all of this into play and helping them to understand his mission, he then begins to help them to understand what is necessary to qualify to follow him. Because a whole lot of folk were following for the wrong reasons. And you will be probably surprised to know how many folk are in the church today following him for the wrong reasons. Now, a whole lot of folk will follow where there are miracles, and a whole lot of folk will follow where there are healings and deliverances. A whole lot of folk will follow where they can get things done for them in the flesh and in the natural. Folk will follow where there are prosperity messages, and folk will follow where there are sensational services, and folk will follow where there is speaking of tongue and laying on of hands and evidences of the Spirit's movement, and they will and all of that's all right, but if all of that is not connected with knowing Jesus for yourself, and all of that becomes vain. One of the things that you've got to understand is that Jesus is looking for those who will follow him and not just what he does. You need to know, I'm going to follow him if he doesn't do another thing for me. I'm going to follow him if he never opens another door, never makes another way. I'm going to follow him because he is my Savior and my Lord. But are we really following him when we have issues or when we have concerns or when we have desires and he doesn't show up when we think he ought to show up? Do we really follow him when the road gets tough and rough and our faith seems to falter a little bit because it then begins to create doubt? Have I done the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Is the Lord mad with me? Did the Lord hear my prayer? Why isn't God hearing my prayer? Why is this happening to me? Do we really follow him in spite of the things that happen to us? You know, my brothers and sisters, when we are challenged with various or diverse challenges in many areas of our lives that we don't deserve because of inappropriate behavior or because we've not done something wrong, do we really follow him consistently and say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Do we really follow him at any cost because we know that God has designed whatever we're dealing with to be a part of what develops us to the next level? Do we really understand that following him means that we become more like him? Well, I got news for you. It's a progressive step. Each step brings you closer into following in his image and becoming like his image. Each step that gets you closer to him begets the reality of who he is. Every time you get closer to the Lord, you begin to look and operate more like him. And the prince of this world likes you less and less, 'cause you remind him of the one who not beat him on Calvary only, but who's ultimately going to destroy him. And so he's hoping that he can get to you since he can't get to him. But what he don't understand is you are who you are because of him. And you're just a reminder to him that what he's going to do in the end is just a mirror reflection of you right here now. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys. Whatever you lock up down here, I'm going to lock it up there. If you bind the devil on earth, I'm going to bind him up here. Whatever, see, that kind of authority the enemy don't want you to know you have. And so the truth of the matter is he tries to get you out of your place and getting you unfocused off of what God would want you to. So Jesus throws out something that I think we ought to look at. Look at what he says in verse 23. And he said to them all, let's change that a little bit. And he said to us all. What he said was, now this is not just for the other folk. This is for the disciples too. This is for everybody. You know, because we have a habit of saying, yeah, he talking to them. Tell them, Pastor. Somebody gonna catch that on their way down. Yeah. But he said to us all, look at the word. If any man, woman, girl, boy, person will come, listen at this, after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's stay right there at verse 23. Let's go back through it again. If any man will come after me, comma, let's pause for a minute. Let him deny himself. Let's pause again. And because there is a conjunction in the word and, let's while we're pausing, let's also get ready for what's coming that will be joined together with this. And take up his cross daily. Let's pause. And let's connect what's coming now. Follow me, period. Let me read it again and let you see something. If any man will come, let's translate that word as commit, because I want you to understand what he's saying. If any man will commit himself after me, because come here is connected to making a commitment to follow Jesus. Now, this word is important because when you come to him and want to follow after him, you can't make your own rules. You want to be a part of the movement, here are the rules, you follow them, and you are blessed. You disobey them, and you are cursed. He's making clear, you can't come up here making no suggestions to change nothing here. This is how it is. If any man will come after me, I'm not trying to follow you. You're trying to follow me. Now, if you're going to follow me, don't try to lead me. If you're going to follow me, you don't really need to ask me where we're going. Because when you commit to me, you know I know where I'm going. And since you know where I'm going, follow me. Now keep this in mind and keep this in perspective so you can understand what Jesus is saying. So come, commit after me. But then the word says, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Now, let suggests that it's your responsibility to let go, to leave alone, to cut off the stuff that you have had self-interest in. Because when you deny yourself, you comply with me and my rules and my will and my word and my way. See, you can't comply till you deny. See, there's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh doesn't want to deny itself because it's all about self-gratification. It is the flesh who seeks self-preservation. It is the flesh who wants what feels good right now. It is the flesh who does not want to struggle, who does not want to strain, who does not want to do anything that causes it discomfort. So one of the things that you've got to know is that flesh is committed to self-interest. Self-interest. Self-interest is connected to flesh and worldly things. There is not a person in here today, if we were given the choice and the privilege to be able to operate the way that we want to in the flesh, that we would not be concerned first and foremost with what pleases us with what we want or what we desire or what we want to have or anything that's connected with the I and the personal pronoun, so that it's all about us. We don't think about others first. We certainly don't think about God first. If the Lord were to come here today and say, what do you want? You would throw out a list so long of what I want, and it won't start off with, Lord, your will be done. It won't start off with, Lord, I just want you to bless my brothers and sisters who I know are hurting here today or have need of this. It won't have nothing. That might be down at the end when you start, ooh, Lord, I got all this. Well, I guess I better think about somebody else. Now, it is the right thing to do. But it certainly would not be the first thing on your agenda. It's all about me, mine. I and what I gotta want. And so Jesus says, you know, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny your self-interest. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't deny, you're going to have conflict. Because you're going to have to go when you don't want to go. You're going to have to do what you don't want to do. You're going to have to say what you don't want to say. See, what you got to understand, if you don't deny your self-interest, it's going to mess up with your schedule. Your favorite TV show comes on a certain day. You can't come to Bible study. You ain't got none of them TV. You don't know how to operate your VCR, so you don't know how to record it. And you ain't got that new satellite thing where you can just play it back and at a press of a button. So that conflicts with your schedule. Well, you know, you got appointments. You got nail appointments, hair appointments. You got, you know, this, that, and the other. You got golf and fishing. You got all the... See, if you don't deny your self-interest, it's going to conflict with my schedule. Your schedule and my schedule are going to conflict because you're more about doing what pleases you than you are about pleasing me. So you got to deny yourself. Because if you don't deny yourself, it's going to mess with your finances. Because you want a raise so you can get a bigger diamond, another car, a house, better clothes. You got stuff you want to get extra. You already can't put stuff in your closet, but that's all right. While I need the kingdom finance, if you don't deny yourself, you're going to put yourself ahead of the kingdom business. You're not going to tithe. You're not going to give liberally. You're not going to be available as a vessel who I can speak to and say, I want you to bless this person or bless that person and know that I'm going to return it multiplied into your life because you want what you want now. If you don't deny yourself, you're not going to fast and pray longer than 2 or 3 minutes and longer than what it takes you to sleep, because when you get up, first thing you do, you might not even brush your teeth first. You might get you a cigarette, get you a cup of coffee, start eating or whatever the case is, and talking about I do that when I'm through with all that, and then maybe get down on your knees and pray. Now see, what I'm trying to help you understand is if you don't deny yourself, all of your interests are going to come before my interests. So you cannot comply until you deny. Now look at what he goes on to say, because I want you to see this in the text. It says, and, because once you deny yourself, then you're ready to do what I called you to do. Then you're ready for what you've committed yourself to do. Once you deny yourself, now you're in position to take on the plan that I have for your life. It says, again, and take up his or your cross when? Not weekly. Some of us take up our cross one day a week, twice a week, once a month, twice a month, every now and then, when somebody dies, Christmas or Easter, or some other few times of the year that we feel so moved or convicted or trouble so shatters our lives that we then take up our cross. But then here's what Jesus says, and take up his cross daily. That means this: when you get down on your knees when you pray, let me help you to understand the best way to pray, the most sincere way to pray. And whenever our self-interest come before God's will, it never starts like this. But when we've denied ourselves, when we get up in the morning, our feet are not the first thing to hit the floor. When you roll out of bed, it ought to be. Somebody didn't get that. I don't care if you have to get down and start it and say, Lord, let me pause this right quick. I'll be right back. Somebody gonna catch that. But then when you get to, you come on back and hit that knee. As I was saying, Lord, he'll appreciate you putting him first. I know it sounds humorous, but you're saying to him, nothing comes before you. And when you begin to pray and put him first and understand this, it makes all the difference in the world. When you deny yourself and begin to put him first. Now, I want you to see this, because this is where we're going with this. It says, and take up his cross daily. So after I begin to pray, and after I begin with my day, and after I go through all the motions of getting dressed, before I walk out my door, go ahead, I say, oh, I ain't dressed till I put my cross on. I ain't talking about around my neck. I'm talking about this symbolic cross being my submission to what God wants me to do today. Cognizant of, conscious of, I have got to submit my word, my will, my way to his, because he has given me a cross to bear. Take up your cross. Well, let's make cross a little simpler to understand. Cross here, for this message sake, is going to be an acronym for Customized Roads of Successful Struggles. I'll say it again if you want to write it down, because you're going to need to know this. Customized Roads of Successful Struggles. That's my cross. Now, because it's customized, my cross or my road or my trouble or my problem or my situations or my challenges might not look like yours. Because by natural occupation, Jesus was a carpenter. And it is said that in his little place where he dwelt, over his shop, there was a sign that says, "My yokes fit well." And if you still don't get it, because you don't know nothing about carpentry, you got to understand that when men wanted yokes built for their oxen to plow their ground, they didn't go to men who didn't know what they were doing. They went to men who were skilled in making sure that the wood, number one, they used was not overbearing wood, which was too heavy. But then, not only was it not too heavy, but it was customized to fit each one of the oxen that it would fit on. So Jesus would say, you want me to build you a yoke for your ox? He'd say, bring your ox to me so I can take some measurements of your ox. Anybody have had something customized? I wish I had somebody. They don't just ask you what your measurements are. They say, come here, stand up. And they measure you, and you say, well, I'm 37 and a half sleeve. And they say, no, you're really 37 and three quarters. Y'all don't hear me here. And that jacket ought to hang a little longer than that. You look like you got a miniskirt on with that. Now, where you got that from? You must have got that off the rack, huh? And you didn't know what size you wore, did you? But when you then, listen, I'm trying to help somebody here. When you get something customized for you, somebody could have the same thing on, but it won't fit the same way. I wish I had somebody here. And if there are any seamstress in the house who know how to sew, and if you're going to sew your own stuff, you're going to make sure it fits you well. And when Jesus
having the sign over his little workshop saying, "My yokes fit well." When folk would come to be measured to have yokes fit for their oxen, etc., Jesus made sure that they fit so well that it did not hinder or in any way compromise the work of the animal, and greater productivity was had because the yokes fit so well. If the stuff you're wearing gets in your way and takes a sisters, if you got to keep every time you walk, if you can't sit down without crossing your legs and your dress go from your ankles or from your knees, well, I don't want to talk about where they're going, but you got the wrong thing on, baby. If you're uncomfortable with it, how much more does it say to you it ain't, it's taking your attention off and everybody else's attention off, and it's saying something about you, you might not want to say it. Brothers, I ain't through with you neither. Get some shirts that's your size. You got a little half a muscle and you got it so tight you stretching it all out. Why? For what? If it fits well, it complements you. If it fits well. Tell somebody, if it fits well, it complements you. But if it doesn't, well, you know what it says. Look at this word again. I want you to see this. It says, and take up his customized road of successful struggles daily. And take up his customized roads of successful struggles daily. And take up his. You see, if you will concern yourself with what God has planned for you today and know that no matter what the struggle is, even before the day has come, he stamped success on it. Then your crosses will fit you better. Because you'll be like, I didn't know this was planned today, but thank you, Jesus, because I can handle this. I know it don't feel like it, but see, the only reason why you begin to act like and feel like you're not going to make it is because you think you're carrying somebody else's cross. But when it's your cross, it means he has measured you. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you can take. He knows how long you can take it. He knows everything about you when he customizes your roads of successful struggles. He knows some days you wake up, it's like, no, devil, don't you. No, not today. Not today, devil. Not today. See, and that's why those days, you know, those people that if he tell me one thing today, I wish she would come up in my face today. Because if she come up in my face today, I'm gone. And the Lord be like, not today, devil. No. You be like, anybody ever wake up some days feeling humbuggish? No, don't act like you all holy all the time. There are some days you catch me on the wrong day, and I ain't prayed like I ought to have prayed. And you come up with that foolishness and be like, you know, you really better not. Somebody need to step and say, you better maybe make an appointment today. Ain't a good time to talk with him today.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. 1-800-633-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.